When Jonah is thrown overboard and gets swallowed by the big fish, he descends to a place known as Sheol. Sheol is a kind of equivalent to hell, but it's not imagined as a fiery place. It's imagined as a watery place. I think of it as the primordial waters that the creation story teaches came before the world as we know it. It's a thick liquid, undifferentiated, teeming with the raw materials of everything in the universe. It's chaos. It is the abyss. It's a place without the shaping hand of God or the ordering laws of physics. It's the perfect exposure therapy for Jonah. The watery depths are exactly the muddy, messy, gray, ambiguous world he's been running away from. Jonah suffers from the chaos. He suffers from the seaweed wrapped around his head, feeling trapped and submerged and imprisoned. But most of all, he suffers from his alienation from God. Jonah's refusal to answer God's wake-up call has created a distance that it seems like it's going to be impossible for him to close. From the belly of the big fish, Jonah prays. But instead of praying, "God, get me out of here," Jonah tells God a story. The story of what's happening to him at that moment. He tells it in past tense, as if the nightmare were already over. He says, "I was stuck here deep in Sheol with seaweed wrapped around my head, so far away from God, and I called out to God, and God heard my call and saved me, and I repented, and now I praise God, and everything is good again." Jonah is talking about his crisis as if he's already on the other side of it. He's visualizing the healing, the restoration, the redemption that he so desperately craves. In the middle of the story that feels hopeless, he is rewriting it in real time. He's writing a new story. We've all heard of the power of visualization in athletics and in the arts. Some even believe in the law of attraction, where you attract positive things into your life by thinking positive thoughts, picturing what you want, writing it down, using the power of imagination. Jonah makes an imaginative leap into a liberated future. He projects himself, propels himself into it. And when Jonah finishes his poem, the text says that God caused the big fish to vomit Jonah up onto dry land. What if we were to apply this teaching to the complex problems of our day? Climate change, racism, war, violence. Instead of staying inside the current story that feels so hopeless, what if we were to start to tell a new story? What if we could together write the poems and the songs and the dances and the plays describing our current storms as if they are in the past and we have already come through them and found redemption on the other side? What if we could take that imaginative leap from what is to what could be? We might find that, like Jonah, we call into being a wondrous love. Please rise in body or spirit for our next hymn, number 18, "What Wondrous Love."